From local to global, we bring you the best conversations with your favorite athletes and Olympians.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
Welcome to another round of the Olympics.com podcast. Tom here with our entire podcast team, excited for this episode, which is an unabashed celebration of International Women's Day and Gender Equality Month.
I feel that as much as we have more opportunities, but we still need to teach more.
That's Michelle Tao, Taekwondo athlete from Lesotho, likely headed to the Paris 2024 Summer Olympic Taekwondo Tournament, but also a beauty queen, artist, and incredible role model for girls worldwide. She's our guest, and that conversation is coming right up. Sports fans around the world are fired up for this summer and the Olympic Games Paris 2024 for many reasons, including the fact that it'll be the first Olympic Games in history with full gender parity, and it will be the biggest gender equal sporting event ever. Of course, as we've known, the Olympic Games are one of the most powerful platforms for promoting gender equality and opening pathways for women and girls around the world. Here are a few of the initiatives coming to Paris 2024. National Olympic committees will be encouraged to have their flag carried jointly by a woman and a man at opening ceremony. The Paris Olympic marathon route, designed as a tribute to the Women's March from Paris to Versailles during the French Revolution. About incredible progress. Paris 1900, 2.2 women competing. As we've said, Paris 2024, 50%. The progress has been particularly impressive and profound in the last 40 years. 1984 LA, just 23% female involvement. London 2012, 44% better. Tokyo 2020, 48% women in the field of play. And now Paris 2024, as we've said, total and complete gender equity on the field of play. No one athlete is doing more to fight for women's rights and open new paths to success than 26-year-old Michelle Tao from the African nation of Lesotho. Michelle is certainly one very talented Taekwondo athlete. Just a quick background to Taekwondo, the way of the foot and the fist. It's a combat sport developed in the 1940s and 50s by a martial artist from Korea. Taekwondo has been an official Olympic sport since its debut at the Olympic Games Sydney 2000.
Olympics.com podcast.
Now back to Michelle Tao. Thanks to her great work at the African 2024 Olympic qualifier, Michelle Tao has secured a quota spot for Lesotho in the Paris 2024 Olympic Taekwondo tournament at 49 kilograms. If selected, she would be Lesotho's first Olympic Taekwondo fighter since Athens 2004. But there's so much more to this unique, soon-to-be Olympian. She's a 2019 African Games silver medalist at 46, 2023 African Champs bronze medalist, and 2023 Montenegro Open winner. And Michelle joins us now. Welcome to the Olympics.com podcast. So nice to meet you and have you in with us.
Thank you so much. It's nice to meet you too.
So we're celebrating International Women's Day and Gender Equality Month. What does that mean when you hear that?
When I hear that, it inspires me a lot to think we've come so far and that today women are able to work, women are able to participate in sports, and basically we are free to do everything that we aspire to do. So it's really inspiring and it's motivating and it makes me really happy.
And you're part of this new wave of, in the last 10 or 15 years, there's more work to be done, right?
Yes.
That's part. I mean, it's good. There's been great progress. We have gender equity at Paris 2024 coming up, but work's not done.
Yes, the work is not done. It still has to be continued, because I feel that as much as we have more opportunities, but we still need to teach more. You understand? Example, I come from Africa. It's the civilization or the modernized world is not the same like in Europe and in Americas. So I feel like it's more work to bring awareness to our people and make them so that more women participate in sports. And, I feel that we need a lot of work. And it's one of the things that make me happy as a woman that I'm able to inspire a lot of people. And now I've seen that more girls, more women write me to tell me, oh, I want to put my kids in sports. I want to start doing this. So it's like, it's really, really motivating. It inspires me as well.
Yes, certainly does. That's great. So you're here with us in Madrid. This is wonderful. What is your life like here in the Spanish capital?
My life, it's very busy. Yes. Basically, I'm training mostly, every day, twice a day, Monday to Saturday. But on Sundays, I have chilled days. Sometimes I go out to the mall, see the city center, you know, and I have a few friends. So it's really good. It's the kind of life I like. I'm more of an introvert, so I prefer being busy with work and then having some time at home or just maybe going out to see the nature, you know, fresh air. So it has been really good for me.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's the safest city I've ever lived in. I've been here almost 8 years. And so how many languages do you speak?
I don't know in counting, but yes, quite a few. I like to learn. This is one thing. And I don't like not understanding when people are speaking. So I always try to, when I'm in an environment, I always try to learn the language that is being spoken there, because I would like to understand what is being said. I would like to also communicate. I don't want to be in the dark. So internationally, I speak English and French, but mostly I speak South African and Lesotho languages. So more like Zulu, more like Sesotho, Setswana, you know, Xhosa, because it's like almost similar. And Sepedi, all these. So it's quite a few.
Yeah, but not Espanol yet.
No, I'm learning Spanish.
You're learning.
Now. Yes, I'm just starting. So,
well, you have a Spanish coach, which will help, and that's what we're going to get into now. Your training, your coach Hugo Tortosa is here with us. What's it like here? You've mentioned Madrid, and it's great, but this is a business trip, right? This is mostly business. So, working with Michelle a few years now, and just tell us what the experience has been like, and welcome, Hugo.
Thank you very much. Training with Michelle is really good because, as you are seeing now, she's always happy, and that's a really great thing for training. Because for me, when someone's tell me the things and she's happy, and also if she gets mad and she tell me, it's good for me because I can correct things and she can correct things. And I think that Michelle is one of the athletes that I've trained that. She improved a lot in a little time. Mm. So, because as she told you, she's always busy and she's training and she has one goal and she's going for that goal. And I think that is going to come true.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And you know what you're talking about. Give us a little bit of your incredible family background. Your father, you guys run a training center here that has welcomed athletes, Taekwondo athletes and others from literally all around Europe and beyond. Give us a little background because it's a crazy story.
Yes. My father, he's a silver medal 2 times in world champion. He's been to Olympic Games in 1988 in Seoul. Also, he's a European champion multiple times. And my brother, he's a world champion. He's 11 times Grand Prix medal. And he also been to 2 Olympic Games to... He qualified and go to Rio 2016 Olympic Games, and he qualified to Tokyo 2020. So I have many athletes also from different countries. Now the elite athletes that are from different countries are from Lesotho, from Ecuador, and from Moldova, that they are looking for their spot for Olympics also. We go next week to the European qualification with the Moldovan guys, and in April we go to Pan American qualification with the Ecuador girl. So... I think it's great to have international athletes because finally, when you finish your sport career, you look back and all these things that you've seen, friends you've met, countries you've visited and countries you've lived, I think that that's the thing that you're going to keep. Because sport is really good, but all these things that is the process, is the thing that people will keep.
Yeah, no question. The relationships and the gains made by hard work. And there's a commonality here. There's an Olympics. There's a dream realized for some of your family. And certainly Michelle has a realized dream on the way coming up in Paris 2024. So is that something that you whisper or maybe yell at her in training? Is there a little bit of a...
Yes, when Michelle started training with me, I told her that thank you very much for trusting me, because I'm 24 years old.
Wow.
I'm the youngest coach that qualify an athlete to an Olympics. And when she first came here, I say, trust in me, I'm young, but I know a lot about this. So we are going to qualify. And also the other day we were talking in message by WhatsApp, and I said, please, you have to pin this message. And I told her that she will get an Olympic medal this Paris 2024. And I say, remember this day that I told you, and we are going to do it.
And what was your response to that?
My response was 100%. This, nothing else.
Just my last thought for you, and we appreciate your stepping in, Hugo. What about her surprised you since you've been working with her?
As I told many times, African athletes are not the future. They are the present. They are athletes that they've been training in their centers in their countries, and now they are giving a step, and they are coming here. And they are training many athletes. They are training in Europe, and now are one of the best athletes of each category. We have from other countries of Africa, we have Olympic champions, we have world medalists. So they are not the future, they are the present. And about Michelle, she's really good because she has many strength and good flexibility. And she surprised many times. People think that she's going to do something, but Michelle always surprised with something new. So that's a really good thing from Michelle. And a good thing that an athlete, and also Michelle has, is that she listens to the coach. Yes. Many athletes, just when they are tired, they start not listening to the coach. And they are doing things that they don't have to do. But Michelle always is listening to me. And she does what I do. And I think that we do a very good coach-athlete relation.
Well done, Michelle. Always listen to your coaches, especially when they're as qualified as even this young man. Hugo, pleasure meeting you. Thank you for joining us on this Olympics.com podcast. And we'll continue now with Michelle.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So... are the Olympics always on your mind now?
Yes, they are. 100% all the time. I'm constantly thinking about it. And I'm constantly thinking how to become better. Because I'm not in competition with anyone. I'm in competition with myself. I need to be better than I was yesterday. And this is a way, I believe, which can help me improve. And we're working on that with my coach. We're working to be better than I was yesterday, every day to be better than I was, better than I, you know, so this is how I grow, because the focus should be on me, on my strengths and what I can do, as what I can do, which is an advantage, you know, for me. So that's what we're mostly focusing on. And that's why the Olympics are always on my mind. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes, you know, when I'm sleeping, I wake up, you know, like when you wake up, like you kind of forget. And then I'm looking at my phone and I see pictures, I see a tag, and I'm like, oh my God, it really came true. This is real. This is here. And it motivates me every day.
Let's go back to your nation. How popular is Taekwondo in Lesotho?
I think about 70 out of 100. Yeah, like 7 out of 10. It's really popular in my country. It's just that there's not much support. But a lot of people want to do Taekwondo. A lot of athletes would like to do Taekwondo, because one time, my father used to play Taekwondo as well. So I one time made a championship in his, like a remembrance championship in his name. And really, we had about 45 athletes per weight. You understand? That's how many people there were. That's how many athletes we have in my country. We really have a lot of athletes, a lot of people who are interested in Taekwondo. It's just that we don't have as much support. We don't have, you know, the chance. We don't have. But it's really popular. It's mm-hmm. it's a popular sport.
You mentioned your father, John Malise Tau, a legend. Would have been an Olympian, likely, if Taekwondo was an Olympic sport in the 80s and 90s. So, like your coach, whose family is all about the sport, you too, you grew up you, from the age of 3, right?
yes, but I wasn't serious in taekwondo like everyone else.
Okay.
Because I stopped. I wasn't fighting. I was only training, you know, because I was flexible and everything. But I stopped and I came back in around 2014. That's when I started. I really came back to taekwondo and I loved it. Because I think everyone stopped. After my father died, everybody stopped. My mom stopped playing, my brother, my sister, so everyone. And so maybe it was the same. I think I needed to find my own path and my reason why I was coming back to taekwondo on my own. Not because my father was doing it, not because my family was doing it, but for me. So I think that's what happened.
What was your, or what is your first memory of taekwondo? Like when you were just a kid?
Honestly, I don't remember. I only remember when, I think in 2014, when I went to the first training, and they were like, do a split. And I just did a split. Everything they were asking me, and I just did it. And they asked me, how do you do it? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just natural. So I think that was my first memory, because after that, I was promoted very fast. I went from no belt to a red belt. And then like in 2 weeks, I was a black belt and I was already in the national team. So it was, I think for me, it was very fast. Everything happened very fast and I didn't expect it to, but I fell in love with the sport.
And is there anything, I mean, growing up, you know, with a father who was, you know, as I said, basically a legend in that sport, what messages or what mantra of his do you remember? Like what do you take with you? Maybe is there something from your dad that drives you now, or you take into a match, or is repeated in your head?
I always hear what people tell me, because I don't know. I have not met him. He died when I was a baby.
Right.
So people always tell me about him. Everyone. He's very famous. So everyone is always telling me about him, how brave he was, his way of fighting. And I learned that we have the same emotions. You know, when I'm fighting, when I get, it's like in the fight, sometimes I want to cry. And they were like, he would cry before the matches. He would cry and then he would fight. And for me, I know that when I really need to push, when I'm really focused and I need to push, I push. I do. I give it everything. So they tell me that he was the same. He was really the same. So it kind of makes me feel closer to him in some way.
Mm, that's wonderful. First memory of the Olympics. Do you remember a time when you were young? When hey, what's this? What's this gathering of the world?
I think it was 2016. I was new. I just came in taekwondo and I didn't even know I was being sent to the Olympics qualifications. You know, I was new in taekwondo in 2016 and I went there and I lost in the quarterfinals. But after this, I was asking more and I discovered that, oh, they're Olympics. And I think there was also someone from Africa. Two athletes from Africa, or maybe it was three, but mostly I think Sheikh and Ruth, and I knew them. So when I saw this, the medals, I saw them take gold and bronze, I was like, it's really possible. It really is possible. And for me, that has always been my goal. Since that day, it inspired me so much that I was like, yes, one day this could be me.
Yeah, you need to sometimes see the dream realized, even if it's for someone else.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
What's your first memory of taekwondo growing up? I mean, did you guys have family battles or?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Not family battles, but, but I used to be, you know, the type of children who they say, I used to play more with boys than girls.
Yeah, tomboy,
I used to be a little bit more aggressive.
Right.
So I remember that we would fight like in the streets with boys and, you know, we would kick and really they would be so afraid. Like it was, it was a little bit crazy. But yes, I do remember that we used to play with boys, and I remember I would kick them and really they would be so afraid of me. And so when I went to university and everyone, there were like a lot of stories about me, like, you know, this girl, she once kicked. It was always something. Everyone was always afraid of me. They're like, oh my God, she will kick you. She will. So one time there was a boy, he was talking. I don't know what he said. And he said something about me. And I went to him. I was like, yeah, I heard you said something about me. So you can say it to my face. And really, he couldn't say a thing. He waited for me to go away and then he started speaking. And so it's because everyone really was, even now today, everyone is really afraid of me. Boy, girls, they're like, no, she will kick me. I don't want anything to do with her, like anything wrong. I don't want to do anything wrong.
Well, that's a nice way to walk around, to know that there's that that respect and maybe a little fear, right?
Yeah.
Karate, judo, taekwondo, I'm sure maybe you have to explain the differences to some people. Can you kind of quickly just, because it's new to some people?
Taekwondo, we work, like normally in our fighting, it's the body mm-hmm. and the head, and we only punch to the chest. In difference with karate, in their fight, I'm not so good with all the rules,
right,
but
right.
I know that in karate, during the fight, after you score, the fight gets stopped, and then they start again. But for us, the fight continues until the 2 minutes, until the time is finished. So that's the difference between the two. Judo is more different because they tackle each other mm-hmm. and throw each other on the floor. So it's a bit, the kicking is different, the style is different, but it's all martial arts. I feel like it right. teaches the same discipline. So it's just that the difference is in the trainings, the kicks, and the competition, how the scores and everything goes.
Right.
Yeah.
What is what's the mindset, the basic mindset of a taekwondo athlete when you get out there and the referee says, you know, and you bow and all that? From that point on, what's going on?
From that point on, let me say before.
Okay.
In my case, it's like I'm a little bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But the time the referee says, Kalio, Chumi, and Keso, you know, this is the time where it says beast mode on, like time to act.
Beast mode on.
Yes. The fear, you let go of everything and now you're focused on the fight. So for me, this is what it is. For me, every time the referee says go, everything changes. Everything, the smiling me and everything, everything changes. It's like I become a whole different person. So that's why I'm saying beast mode on. So for me, this is how it is. The difference between me outside and me inside the ring.
Tell us about the Asian qualifiers. When you earned that quota spot for your nation, and most likely for you, you know, they want it's very, you know, the NOCs, we're going to pick people, but most likely you're going. What was that feeling? How do you explain what was going on in those moments?
In that moment? Oh, in my fights, you know, there was like 0.0, I think 4, 6. It's like just a mini second
yep.
left. So I already thought the game was done and I was already celebrating. And the referee called me back like, yes. And I got like a sanction, yep, you know, like yep, a yep. gum jam. But it was like the happiest gum jam of my life because I was like, it's okay. I've already won. It's really, it was an epic moment for me. I was really happy. I can't even explain. Words can't explain how I was feeling. And the first thing I went to see my coach. It was like, we did it. We did this. We were working for this and we just did it. It's like when a dream comes true, you can't really describe it with words.
Right.
You can just only feel it. And also my mom was there. So it was really, really amazing. And really, it's really good when you have a good connection with your coach and you have support there.
For
really,
sure.
The winning for me really was magnificent. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it, but I never had that feeling ever in my life before. So this is a new feeling for me.
And now you chase that feeling
and now
in your career, right? You always want more of that. And then it ripples on to back to Lesotho. And what was that like?
For my country? everyone was really happy, but it's like everyone expected me to have this. So it was like before this, it was a lot of pressure on me. But in the end, when I fight, I focus. I tell myself beast mode on. Now it's time to focus on this. It's only in my head. I'm always like, it's only 2 minutes. It's only 2 minutes break time. It's only one fight. It's only two fights. It's only one more. You know, this is how I push myself to not stress, to forget about everything. But because of the results I've been bringing in my country as the only taekwondo athlete, everyone expected me to qualify. It's like everyone was already waiting on this for me. And when it happened, everyone was really happy. So it's like, yeah, I needed to do this.
And it's a sport of fists and kicks. But from what I see, the fists aren't so rewarding, right? I mean, you get 1 point, and so you got to, and if you're throwing a fist, then you got to watch out defensively. So talk us through the fist versus kicks, because it's not a lot of reward.
Yeah, this is true. Fists are, it's like you're more risky to get a headshot or a turning kick, 4 points, you know. But it's also the easiest way to score. Like sometimes, you know, when other things are not working, you just have to be really fast, very smart and really fast. And sometimes it's really rewarding. Sometimes you can score only with the punches and you see that the other person is unable to block them. Like when you have a taller athlete and a shorter athlete, the shorter athlete has more advantage on the punches because the other one is taller. But also they have to be careful because the taller one, you know. But the thing is with taller athletes, sometimes they're not fast enough. But if you're fast enough when you're shorter and you're moving, you know, punches could really come in handy. But they are risky, like really risky. But like in scenarios, let's say you need 1 point, you need one punch and there's no time. It's like the punch is like the easiest thing to do. So it's like one more point. And then let's say you have maybe 5 seconds left. And let's say the score is 2-1. And let's say the two, they got the two by your faults, like, you know, gum jumps. Mm-hmm. So you maybe did one punch. So if you do the next punch, it's like it's 2-2. But you win by superiority because you punched and they got their points from the sanction. You understand?
Gotcha. Yeah, so, got it now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or maybe like sometimes it's 2-2. You both kick the body and then, you know, then you go with the punch and then it's one more.
So we're going to get back to your sport in a minute, but how did you get started in beauty pageants? Because they seem, taekwondo training and beauty pageants seem like about a mile apart.
Yeah. Like I said, in taekwondo, I'm a whole different person. I'm a girl, you know, I'm a girl, you know. Mm-hmm. I love beautiful things. I love makeup. I love shoes. I love dressing. And so I always wanted to be a model, you know, growing up, you know, looking at like Tyra Banks, Naomi Campbell, and sports were not so famous back in the day. So it was like sports were like a hobby. You only did sport as a hobby. Mm-hmm. And so I was more focusing on the modeling and beauty pageantry. So, and I loved it. So I was doing this and I was putting more time. Until, like I said, the time came, I was doing both. I don't know, taekwondo just found its way back. Taekwondo is I think it's a part of me. Because in high school, there was no taekwondo, there was no karate, there was nothing. So I was normally just doing like volleyballs, but mostly I was modeling. Mm-hmm. And then I was modeling and doing taekwondo while I was in university and while I was in school. But in the end, I decided, I think I should try taekwondo more because I had already won a Miss NUL, like from my university. Mm-hmm. I already won the title, and then I already won the title for Lesotho, the face of Lesotho. And then I already went to InterVarsity Games, where it's like universities. I already had that. Mm-hmm. And I also went to India at Face of Beauty, and I got, you know. So I was like, okay, I already went so far.
Been there, done that.
Let me not be too greedy, you know. Let me take my exit while I'm already on the top and go into venture into something new. And really, I stayed in taekwondo, and I was like, let me focus on taekwondo. And that's how it happened.
Are there people who, when they see you in those 2 minutes, who say, how in the world are you so, are you in, you know, can make up and beauty pageants and then this person? Is there, there's two different people in there a little bit?
Yes.
Mention that.
Yes, there's two different people. In taekwondo, in the trainings, I'm really a different person than I am outside. Literally.
Your coach is laughing.
Yeah, really. You know, sometimes some people only know me from taekwondo. And then when they see me outside taekwondo, they're like, really, it's you? I'm like, yes, of course it's me. It's that's why I'm saying it's more focusing. It's more about being determined, you know, giving it everything you've got in the trainings, in the fights, everything. It's like I'm a beast during all these. But outside, I'm very soft. Outside, I'm very soft. And that's why he's telling you I'm always smiling. I'm always happy. But when I'm fighting, no, it's not the same. Yes, it doesn't mean I'm not happy, but it just means that I have to turn on a different type of emotion in order to do this.
Yeah, you have a job to do, right?
Yes.
Do these two very different expressions of your competitive drive have anything in common? You know, is there a way of imposing your will in a sport and then in a pageant? Is there anything that you think that there's a commonality between those two?
Yes, there is. For me, it was helping me. Taekwondo was helping me physically to prepare, because if I was a model, I needed to be in shape. Right. I needed to be skinny, and I was skinny. And taekwondo was helping me to do that. And then I went to modeling. You know, it was healthier. It was keeping me healthy. And also for school, it's actually really good, because for me, it while you're keeping your mind healthy, you are able to focus more on your school. You're able to sleep better. You're
right,
able,
sure.
Yes. So it really worked for me. It was really working for me. It's only just that I just couldn't do both, because I had already achieved more than I had already thought I would. And I thought, okay, let me not, you know.
Well, right. Is there a way that the beauty pageant work and the modeling contributes the other way? Is there something about, like, you know how to walk out?
Yeah.
Not that it's the same walkout, but, you know how to present yourself.
Yes, it does. It helps you with composure, discipline, how to be, you know, posture and everything. So all of these I learned from beauty pageantry, which helped me a lot when I went into taekwondo, you know, because sometimes maybe like now I'm having an interview, and now at least I know a little bit how to compose myself, a little bit how to be speaking, a little bit how to be. So it does help. Also, for me, I would use taekwondo as talent, you know, in the pageantry, and it would make me, I would always win the talent show, because I would do extraordinary things. I would break boards, you know. Yes, and you know, for a girl, everyone is thinking like, oh my goodness, how she's doing this. So it really was really working so well both ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you handle losing, if you even know what that is?
I look at it in this way. I'm not a failure if I don't quit. You either win or lose. You can't always win. This is just life. This is just life. We have to accept it. I learned to accept the things I cannot control. If I lose, okay, I will have a lot of pain, but I will cry for a few minutes until I feel better. Then I have to look back on my fights. I have to see, I have to talk with my coach and ask, we look, what went wrong? What did I do wrong? What do I need to improve? And that's what we have to work on to be better for the next time.
For sure.
So every time if I'm losing, I'm not saying, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. No, I always look at it as a lesson. I always have to see, what did I do wrong? What do I need to improve? It's the same as winning. When you win, you don't just stay. You have to look, what helped me to win? In the fights, where did I do mistakes? Because even if you won, there were mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it's always winning or losing. Always look back to see what were the good parts, what were the bad parts, where do you need to improve, and what do you need to let go of. So this is how I look at it.
Yeah, well, champions at the highest levels, teams or individuals, often you learn more in the loss. And as long as you look at that as a stepping stone, right? Like, it isn't the end of my career. This is part of the process.
Part of the process, it's true. And honestly, if we don't lose, you will never be stronger. You need to lose in order to be strong. You need to lose in order to be mentally prepared and also to learn. Because winning all the time, sometimes, you know, you might think, oh, I'm so good. Nothing can happen to me. So you don't learn. And also you don't put as much work and dedication. Mm-hmm. So losing is also sometimes really, really helpful. As much as it's painful, it helps us grow. It helps us grow
for sure.
A lot. And so,
yeah, differentiate. And then, you know, winning, you know the difference, right? When you win, you know what it's like on the other side.
And it helps you appreciate the win more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mental health is become more and more an important focus for the world, for everybody going to work, kids at school, and certainly for athletes. What do you do to safeguard your mental health? Are there things you do, or is it just the way you live normally?
There are a couple of things I do. Like, I did study counseling and psychology. But for me, mentally, I always have time. I always take time about, not every day, but I do have like a 30 minutes sometimes or 1 hour to myself, quietly looking at life, looking at things I think that I need to improve. Sometimes I do take a journal and I write, yes, because sometimes I get conflicted with myself. So I take a journal and I write down all the good things that I've done so far and everything that I think is not going well. And so I always look at it, and always the good always outweighs the bad. Like, the positive always outweighs the negative. And this always gives me more motivation, and it always helps me appreciate life more. And also mentally, if I feel that I'm not okay, normally I talk to my mom a lot. I call people who are close to me. You know, I try to keep myself occupied and not stay in negativity a lot. So, because mental health is really important. It's what we need in order to get out of bed every day. It's what we need in order to push. It's what we need in order to aspire to have goals and objectives in life. If you don't have a good mental health, you can't really do a lot. So I think it's up to us and individuals not to look at our situations and be like, oh, because this is happening in my life, I'm feeling like I'm not good enough or something. So every day you just always have to look at, how far have I come? What have I accomplished so far? It might not be as someone else, but at least you went from somewhere. If you were at zero, now you're at five. It's better than staying at zero. So this is how I normally do it. But with me, also, you know, I have a good coach. So if, you know, sometimes when I'm really, really not feeling okay, and he's asking me, how are you? I'm like, really, really, I'm really tired. I don't know. I didn't sleep well, you know. So it's like I'm always trying to communicate in order, because he needs to understand me in order to help me. So I feel like communication is really important for mental health and also in sports.
For sure.
Yeah.
I grew up in an era when, you know, you suck it up, you go out and it would be a weakness to ask for help. But now I love the idea that if you're not okay, it's okay to say you're not okay. And it's important, especially, you know, you're young, but I'm sure you have a following now of young kids who are looking up to you. And that's an important message for you to pass on.
It's true. It is. And most of the time I get questions. People say, Michelle, how do you do it? I'm really going through a lot in life. And I always just try to explain to them. I'm like, for sure, when you look at me, you're thinking everything is 100% good in my life. Everything is perfect. No, I'm also going through the same, maybe similar problems. But the only difference is I don't allow my problems to describe me. I don't allow my problems to tell me who I am. I am not my problems. I'm not my situations. So I need to, I always say we have this generational curse, you know, like we're growing up. You're like, oh, I'm from Africa. You know, my country, no one in my country has ever had an Olympic medal. So I don't have a chance. No, I want to be the first. I want to be the one who shows other girls or other people after me that it is possible. The only difference is we really have to work. Whether you feel good today, whether you don't feel good today, you really have to work on it. It's not about always being good. It's not about always winning. No, the goal is bigger than that. The goal is bigger than that. Because if it's only about just winning, what's going to happen when you don't win? The goal should be bigger than that. I'm not only doing this for myself. I'm doing this for my family, for my coaches, for my country, for my people, for other generations to come, to be inspired by me that this girl came from such a small country, but look where she went. She went through all the struggles, but in the end, she pushed until she reached her goals. So this is what I want to pass on.
Mm-hmm. It's a great message. So number four in the world, if my research is correct, at 46 kilos, not an Olympic class. Number 27 at 49, which is an Olympic class. What's the difference for you? Because you know you're going to go hunting at 49, right?
Yes. The difference is that it's the weight. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. In 46, my height is a normal height, and my weight normally before my weight was around 45, 46. So it was like very natural and very normal for me to fight in 46.
Right.
It was natural for me. So in 49, the only difference is the athletes are taller, more stronger. And so before, it used to be really hard for me because I had less weight.
Right.
But after I met my coach and we worked, we worked on fitness and how to gain more muscles, how to become stronger. And now really in 49, I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
I might be short, but we have our own, you know, tactics on how to work through that as a short fighter, fighting taller people. But for strength, now I don't have a problem with strength because we work through this. And now 49, it's like 46.
Do you have to watch what you eat?
No, now no. In 46, yes, of course, I had to watch what to eat. But in 49, because I need more muscles, I need energy, I need, you know. So for that, no, not really. I don't really need to watch what to eat. I just need to become stronger.
So you eat healthy, but what's a guilty pleasure that your coach will look away and let you have once in a while? Or maybe you can just eat whatever you want. Chips.
This is my, because I don't like sugar, you know, I'm not a chocolate type of person, but chips.
Okay.
He knows it's chips.
Yeah. So there's chips around.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Bags of chips and bags, many bags. Okay. Well, that's good for the chip companies. Potential sponsor out there. I'm just saying. So Paris 2024, It's a word, and we've been living it here for a couple years, and now it's getting really close. There's a countdown on the Paris 2024 website, and you know, what's that word? Those numbers? What's that mean to you right now?
The countdown and the whole journey to Paris for me. It's like a countdown to my dreams, a countdown to my goals. So as each day approaches, I'm like, I'm one step closer. As each day passes, I'm one step closer. So it's, to me, I love looking at it. It makes me want to push more. It makes me feel that you can work hard for something and really, if you really want it, it can happen. And so this is what I want to happen. It's helping me to realize I'm on the journey of making my dream come true. I already finished. It's like 50% done, you know, because it's on 100. The first, it was from 0 to 50. It's like I need to qualify. Now I've already done the 50%. Now I need to do the remaining 50%. And I'm working on that. So I really, really find it inspiring every time I see, oh, there's a 100 days, just an example, to Paris. It's already, I'm like counting like, okay, so we are really doing this and I'm really ready mentally. I'm really ready. So that is a good thing for me.
Et tu parles français?
Oui, je parle français.
Ouais. Petit peu. So you're ready to go speak the language there. What do you do for fun? Do you beat on your coach ever? Is there ever a time when you can get in there and you know, work on your coach?
Yes. Yes.
That's fun.
I think he has been kicked by us so many times. Because, sometimes you're in the pads, sometimes he's holding it, maybe your leg goes to his face. So he gets really, he's like, we have a thing called Bob that we kick. Mm-hmm. So he's like our living Bob. He's like our living Bob. He gets all the kicks, really.
And outside of kicking your coach, what other things? How do you get away? What's something that maybe, is a small part of your life, but crucial?
I recently started a hobby, painting. So now I'm painting. Yes. And it's very relaxing. I love it, actually. And I love just dancing, listening to music, I like going out, seeing nature, and just being with people I'm close to, people I love. I love hanging out with them, and I don't really like doing much. But I like fun things, like maybe going ice skating or going to the roller coaster or something. Just simple things. I'm a simple kind of girl. So little things make me happy. People always say this. They always say, well, you're so easy. Like, life is so easy for you. It's just because I appreciate such little things. Little things make me happy.
That'll go a long way for you. When I say Taylor Swift, she's a topic more and more, incredibly talented, incredibly successful. What comes to mind?
Taylor Swift. Wow. When I hear, I'm actually quite a fan. I love her music. I've been listening to her since a young age. So seeing her doing this for all these years, it's really something that tells me if you're doing something you love, you can go really far. If you're doing something you love, you can go really far, because it's very important. It's really important to do what you love, because if not, then you're only going to give like 20%. But if you're doing something you love, you give 100% or more. That is why even today, she's still one of the top.
Do you think that with that, and a little bit like you mentioned earlier, there's a responsibility for people in her position and a little bit less, but in your position as well, to lead young people and young girls, young women?
Yes, it is. It is. Because once you're like at where she is, people start looking up to you. So everything you do is really crucial. Everything you do, us as the youth, we look at it, good or bad, we look at it as inspiring to us. So really, it's really a big role of a leadership. You're already a leader without even wanting to be one. Once you're already on that platform, you're already a leader. So everything you do, everything you say, it's like, it can change someone's life.
Yeah.
So it's not easy, for me, example, now in my country, I'm very famous, and everything I do, everyone is looking to it. Everyone wants to do it, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Everyone just wants to do it because they feel that because she's doing this, this is what is working for her. You understand? Not realizing that as people, we are different. What works for me might not work for someone else. Everyone is different, and things work differently for us. So it's really hard for me, because it's like when you're there, you can't make any mistakes.
Right.
It's like you're not human. People don't treat you like you're human, because once you make a mistake, it's like, how could she? It's like a taboo. You understand? But it's very normal. Everyone makes mistakes. No one is perfect. It's okay. It's just that we need to learn that even if people are inspiring us, even if we're looking up to people, we have to understand that they're human.
For sure.
They can make mistakes. Okay, let them inspire you, but think for yourself. Don't want to be like her. Want to be you, but let her story inspire you. Because the biggest mistake we do is we want to be like other people. But I cannot be like someone else. I cannot be blessed the same way someone else is blessed. I can only be blessed the way I am blessed. So I need to find my inspiration, my motivation, but walk my path, not someone else's path. So I feel like that's what is lacking, and we need more to talk about it, that as much as people look up to celebrities, we look up to other people. Mm-hmm. Just let them inspire you, but don't want to be like them. Want to be what you want to be.
That was tremendous. And you mentioned Lucky and all that, and that's where I am because I get a chance to sit down and meet and talk to incredible athletes and incredible people like you. That was fun. Michelle, thanks for joining us on this Olympics.com podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
This is the Olympics.com podcast.
After we were finished, Michelle shared some of her latest passion, painting. Her art is, as you might expect, detailed and magnificent, and she just started painting. Also, in a recent Lesotho newspaper, boxer Arina Pakela, preparing for the Olympic boxing qualifier in Italy, shared how Michelle's accomplishment and earning a quota spot for Lesotho in Taekwondo has inspired him to go and try to do the same for Lesotho in boxing. Remember, there's a treasure trove of original Olympics-related feature content across our platforms on Olympics.com. That's it for this episode of the Olympics.com podcast. Hit us up at Olympics with any feedback you have. We love feedback. It helps us to get better. You can also hit me up on my Twitter at TK Sports Tweets. Thanks for being a part of the Olympic community and follow the Road to Paris 2024 Olympic qualifying process right here as well. We'll see you next time.
For more in-depth and original Olympics-related feature content, search our platforms here on Olympics.com.